Crowd, if you didn't know it already, praise God. You know what I determined in my mind this morning? I was telling Sharon with Kennedy, determined in my mind when we came in this morning. There's an old Pentecostal song that goes like this: I won't leave you like I came, in Jesus' name. Bound, oppressed, tormented, sick or lame, for the Holy Ghost of Acts is still the same. I won't leave here like I came, in Jesus' name. You know, and Linda and I are a little older, probably a little older than everybody in here, but we love the Lord, and we are. Is any other grandpas in here this morning? Yeah, grandpas first. Okay, we got another one. I want to share with you for a second on that. You know, there's a lot of young people today that need a grandpa. They need somebody to just love on them. They don't need to be scolded and run down. They just sometimes need somebody to love on them. Somebody they can go to and say, Grandpa, can you hug on me a little bit? I don't know if I can get through this. Grandpa and his grandson went out fishing one day. And they'd been fishing a little while, and his grandson says, Grandpa, he said, what's your favorite scripture? And Grandpa looked at him and he says, and this too shall pass. Amen. Guys, we're looking at it in a society right now that is in such a terrible turmoil. I mean, there is turmoil everywhere. Don't you agree? I mean, it is a disaster. But I tell you what, there is one who is not surprised. His name is Jesus. His name is Jesus. Is there any grandmas in the house this morning? There's several. The same thing holds true for you. There are young people in our midst many, many times that need a grandma that they can go to. Remember the little girl walking down through the mall one day and somebody asked her, says, honey, what's your name? She said, well, my mama calls me no, 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 no. But my grandma calls me sweetheart. Grandma, that's you. That's you. I entitled a message this morning, It's Your Gift. And it is your gift. The question is, what are you going to do with it? Whoa. Oh, that was a good deal. Thank you, Lord. His word's the same upside down, backwards, or what? Any direction. Wow. So God gave us a gift. Amen. Can you recall when you were saved? You can. Oh, that's awesome. Do you recall what happened to you when you got saved? Maybe and maybe not. I specifically do because I really didn't believe when I got saved at the moment. I really wasn't sure that my heart was in the right place. Even though I prayed the sinner's prayer and did what the pastor asked me to do, actually the evangelist, I didn't necessarily feel good about it. But in the middle of that night, I woke up singing a song I had never sang before. I never even heard the song. He brought me out of the miring clay. He put my foot on a rock to stay. A song of praise. Hallelujah. God gave me a gift that night. What are we going to do with it? Another one of the gifts that God gave me was my wife. We've been married now 58 years, going on 59. She's been with me through a lot of things, including when our house burned down and when our youngest son went to prison. She stayed strong because she's been hooked to the Lord for years and years, longer than I have been. And she's been there for me. And I want to give her all the honor and glory and praise. The scripture addresses this issue, but she's going to come and speak to us for just a second to the ladies.
I'll just get my Bible off there.
The word is too heavy for this stand. I said the word is too heavy for this stand. It's supposed to make us stronger, isn't it? Brad had asked me to speak momentarily this morning, and that's about all I do is momentarily. But we're going to talk about giving this morning. He didn't give his opening scripture, but that's what it's talking about. How many of you like to be needed or helped? How many of you want to be respected? How many of you want to be loved? How many of you want submission from someone? I always want submission from my kids. I do it, I say it, you do it. But it's so important between a husband and wife. But some of these things I'm going to say this morning apply to you who are not married because you have friendships. And so you can take some of these to a friendship as well. So I'll be talking about a husband-wife relationship, but also about a friend relationship. I'm going to cover four topics. However, that is not all inclusive. This covers such a much more range of things than just four topics. But this morning I'm going to be talking on being a helper, respecting your husband, loving, and submission. Oh, we don't like that word, do we? Do I have this all figured out? No, I do not. They say that practice makes perfect. I've been practicing for 58 plus years. You'd think I'd have it figured out, right? Just ask Brad, he'll tell you. I don't think so. I read just the other day, when you light another's candle, you lose nothing of your own. You just produce more light. It didn't cost you a thing, did it? Get my hand off there. And it was a blessing to you. It's a blessing to you when you help build someone else up. So did you lose anything? No, you gained a lot. So in this little bit, I'm going to say, think about lighting someone else's candle. The first point I want to make is being a helper. Brad said I was a helper this morning. I pray that he's right. All of us are called to be helpers to others. In Galatians 6:10, it says, therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all. That says to all. So many times I want to think, nah. But that isn't the right attitude. Galatians 6:10 tells us, let us do good to all. And then it goes on and says, especially to those who are of the household of faith. then if we go to Genesis 2:18, it tells us that God really realized it wasn't good for man to be alone. So he decided to make a helper. Ladies, that's you and I. I need a Kleenex. Sorry. The Hebrew meaning of helper in this passage is only found hereafter as God being our helper. That puts a whole different meaning on helping someone. When you think of how God has helped us unconditionally with love that is so outstanding, so when we help, let's not attach strings to it for our own benefit. Let's help out of the giving of a heart. God has designed wives to help their husbands become all that they can be. But you may be that way for a friend. You're helping that friend be all they can be in encouraging them, standing behind them, loving them. So let's think about being a helper. The next thing I want to cover is being respecting our husband. And you can take that further as respecting other people too. One thing I want to make sure we're clear on is respect and trust are not the same thing. You choose out of your heart to respect, but trust is built on a relationship between two people, and it can be broken with emotion. But you respect from your heart. That person may disappoint you in things they do or things they say, but you still need to choose to respect them. Respect them as a person, not for what they've done, but as a person. In Ephesians 5:33, Paul says, the wife must respect her husband. How do you do that? Or how do you do it for a friend? You notice them. You regard him. You honor him. You prefer him. And you esteem him. It means you value their opinion. You admire their wisdom and character and understanding. You appreciate that commitment. A husband or a friend wants you to be on their team. Be their cheerleader. Encourage them that they can. I appreciated what you said this morning, Kennedy. Sometimes fear doesn't want us to do what we know we should do. And many times we want to be, no, we should be a cheerleader, but we just sit and be quiet. Be a cheerleader for your husband, ladies that are married, and you who have good friends, be a cheerleader for them. The third thing I want to talk about briefly is loving your husband. Titus 2:4 says, instruct the wife to love their husband. We are all an imperfect people. We need to show unconditional acceptance. I thank God that he has shown me unconditional acceptance. Where would I be without that? A mess. Sometimes I'm still a mess. Our Lord loves us so unconditionally, even when we are in the worst of worst. He still loves us. He loves us unconditionally. And this is how we should love, friends. Is it always easy? No. It is not. But look at love from the other person's perspective. What if you only loved them when they were fit in what your mold says they should be? That's not love. You don't always have to like what they do, but love them. I'm going to cover this briefly for married couples. Ladies, don't get a headache. I didn't ever get a headache, but I was too tired so many times. Is that the truth? I've got Brad on the floor over here. When he had a meeting at night, and we were raising children, and I was holding down a job as well, I'd have to get supper, clean supper up, do the homework with the children, four of them, and get them to bed. When he came home from his meeting, he was, whoo, and I was, whoo. So I didn't tell him I had a headache. I'd say, I have had an exhausting day. I'm tired, and I'm going to bed. And in the back of my mind, I was thinking, and you can stay up and watch TV. Have to find out where I am here. The next thing I want to cover briefly is submission. As I said before, we sometimes don't like that word, submission. And there's such a misconception about submission. It doesn't say that women are inferior to men. It doesn't say that blind obedience should be on the part of the woman. That is all so far from the truth. What does God have on his mind for submission? Colossians 3:18 says, "Wives, submit to your own husband as is fitting in the Lord." The scripture is based on our relationship with Christ. Loving, forgiving, does not mean we become a doormat or that we tolerate destructive behavior. That's not what God intended. The next scripture I use is from the CEV, the Contemporary English Version. The rest have been from New King James. Ephesians 5:22 and 24 says, "Wives, submit to your own husband as to the Lord. For the husband is head of the wife, as also Christ is head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything." That puts a whole new meaning on submission. A wife should submit voluntarily to her husband's sensitive and loving relationship and leadership. Have the attitude that you are being his helper and loving him, in that helping him to fulfill his responsibility of becoming a man, a husband, and the leader God intends for him to be. If you're always downtrodding them and not being their cheerleader, they aren't going to go to the places where God intends them to be. The key to all of this is following God's plan for us. As I said, this is just a small overview of a relationship with others. There's much more in this word. You can look it up for yourself. This is just four keys. I want to read a side note from the Gaither Homecoming Bible. It says, the world is dying for words of kindness. Gentleness is a lost art. From the time children learn to walk, someone close to them is bound to be toughening them up. Sometimes a pecking order is established that confirms the strong and tough that devours those who are gentle. But God's pecking order is counter to the world's gentleness, kindness, mercy, peaceableness. They're very high on his scale of the necessary qualities we need to have. So in closing, let us help, let us respect, let us love, and let us be submissive. Thank you for your time.
Praise God. Thank you, honey. I'm going to take a runoff from one of the commercials you see on television a lot right now. Be kind, think positive, and love your wife. The commercial says, be kind, think positive, think Subaru. That's the commercial it's going, but I wanted to change it a little bit for my wife. I love my wife, and I realize that many times I don't show it like I should. And I remember several years ago, we had been married for a while. Anyway, Linda says to me one day, you ever going to just come and sit on the couch beside me and tell me you love me? I said, honey, you know I love you. Good grief, I told you that when we got married. You know I love you. Yeah, but I want to hear it now. You know, and I think that that's one of the things that probably in honoring our wives, we need to do more of, is go sit on the couch with them. When they're tired and run down, go sit on the couch. Hug on them a little bit. Kiss or two wouldn't hurt nothing. And tell them you love them. Tell them you love them. They're your workmate. They're right alongside you. Linda's been with me from day one. And we started dating, going together when we were in the eighth grade. And went that way all the way through. And so in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7, and this is, I'm going to read from the New Living Testament. It says, in the same way you husbands must give honor to your wives. Trust your wife with understanding as you live together. She may be weaker than you are, but she is your equal partner. She is your equal partner in God's gift of new life. She is God's gift to me. What am I going to do with our gifts? And brothers and sisters, as we go this morning, I'm only going to touch on three things. This morning, giving expresses faith. Because a lot of times we give, we really don't even know. We just give because somebody asked us to give. But giving expresses our faith. And even giving when we don't have it. We absolutely don't have it to give. Let me ask you this morning, is there somebody here or that would not have anything financially to give this morning? In other words, don't even have a dollar in your pocket, not one. Nobody? Wow, one lady doesn't have any. Well, you come up here. You come up here. Come on, you come up here too. I got enough for two. Come on. I'm going to help you out. Come on. Then I'm going to share with you something else that goes along with this. Now, this is not a lot. Okay? You just take that, okay? But I want you to think when you go back, what could you possibly do with this? That's yours. That's your gift. Go ahead. It's yours. But I want you to think for a second, what could you do with that? And thank you for being bold enough to come up. Because here's what I'd like to see you do. Years ago, when Linda and I first started pastoring Laurel, Montana, we didn't have any money. There was only Linda and I and our granddaughter that come into church. And there was no money. We both had jobs. But by the end of the month, we were totally broke. There was no money in our pocket. But we would go and scrape together $4, $5 bills. Now here's where it gets back down to you. Then we would go and out of faith give those $5 bills away. I'm going to encourage you to give those $10 bills away. But give them in a place where you have no way of knowing what they did. No way of knowing. You go give them to somebody that you have no way of tracking that $10. And then you're going to see what God does for you. We never had a month in Laurel when our bills weren't paid. And many times we did this exact thing. We took $5 and gave it away somewhere. But we learned to give out of faith. Lots of times when you give, listen, you are blessed this morning to be in a church that has incredible leaders. Pastor was doing a service for a military man one morning, and he told the military people that were at the funeral, he said, if you'll follow me, we'll stop by the casket and then I'll lead you out. So when the funeral was over with, and they followed him out and they went by the casket, and then he turned to the right and led him into the broom closet because he didn't know where he was going. You can thank God today that you're following leaders of this church that do know where they're going. They have a vision. They have a plan for where they're going. And through that, they have a mind of Christ for you. If you need deliverance, they're here for you. I thank God for that. I thank God for that. So, giving expresses our faith even when we don't have it to give. Sometimes the giving actually can involve our time. All of us know in this world, time is money. And so when you give of your time, it is as if you're giving of your money. Second thing is, giving attracts favor. It attracts favor from not only those around you, but God notices your giving. The giving of your heart. Sometimes people give because they've got lots and lots of money and they can give for this cause and that cause and that cause. But generally speaking, they want to be not acknowledged at the end of the year for the millions or thousands that they may have given. But God is looking at our heart this morning. Again, back to the gift. What are you going to do with it? God gave you a gift. And that gift is to share it everywhere we go. To open up a new door, to share it. Linda and I, again, are so blessed. We live on McIlvain Court, Southwest. And we have got absolutely the best neighbors. You know, the night that Linda had the heart attack, I know that they were wondering, because the lights were just crazy in there. The police were there and the two ambulances were there. And they come running in the house. And I'm sure the neighbors were wondering what in the world is going on. But when Linda got home, here they come with food. They started packing it in the house. And so I feel blessed that we live there. But giving attracts favor. Linda had prepared a meal for all of our neighbors before all this happened, and they had all been in our house. And we talked about how we wanted to have a wonderful Christmas, a Christmas of giving and a Christmas of Christmas carols and being able to sit around the piano. Well, we didn't really get to do that because it's really tough for Linda to play the piano. That's one thing that really hasn't come back for her. She can do it, but it takes her a little bit longer. But she's getting there. And giving attracts favor. The third thing I'd like to share with you this morning is giving teaches us to trust God. It teaches us to absolutely trust. Now, if you want to trust, take the $10 bill and do whatever you want to with it. But if you want to really trust God that He is going to meet your needs through this little bitty sacrifice, go give it away. And you'll see what happens. You cannot, and I say again, you cannot outgive God. Virtually impossible. You can't outgive God. This morning I'm talking again about giving in the terms of offerings. I'm not talking about tithes. Tithes is a whole different thing because that is required of us. It's not an option. In our denomination, if a pastor does not tithe, he's not a pastor anymore. You're done, period. It's not an option. And I'm sorry, there's too many things anymore going on in our churches that we've allowed to be options that should not be an option. Because if we won't obey and do the things God is asking us to do, why are we asking somebody else to do it? Why in the world would we ask somebody else to do it? God teaches us that we can trust Him. He gave us a gift of salvation. He gave us a gift of the Holy Spirit, didn't He? When we got salvation and we gave our life to Jesus Christ, He gave us the gift of salvation, didn't He? That's a gift that cost Him a lot. It wasn't $10. It wasn't $10. It wasn't $100. It wasn't $1,000. It was the life of His Son, Jesus Christ. Oh, our God loves you. Our God loves me. He cares about us. And some of the things that we do, I'm afraid sometimes we really don't show our love back to the Lord by holding on to our gifts. The degree of loving is measured by the degree of our giving. In Matthew 7 and 9, it says, God is a giver. God is a giver. He gave you a gift. That just brought to my mind right there, the gift. When are we going to unwrap it? When are we going to open it up and decide, hey, whoa, hold on. God gave me a wonderful gift. This gift is movable. It'll do things. When am I going to open it up? Hey, sorry, buddy. I didn't realize you was filming this. 1 Timothy 6:17. All things that He gives you is for enjoyment. For your enjoyment. Oh, you're going to go through some tough times, but He give it to you that you can enjoy. We make a living by what we get, but we make a life by what we give. Wow, I thought about that, and oh, I love that. We make a living by what we get, but we make a life by what we give. Church, let me tell you something. One of the things that moved me, I couldn't help but cry. Years ago when we were first starting in the ministry, we were in the Little Methodist Church in Camp Crook. A couple months later, this lady sent us a card, a little envelope, and this envelope had been used before, so she steamed it, turned it inside out, glued it back together, and sent it to us. And inside that envelope was $2. I struggled so hard with that because I knew that $2 was more valuable to her than probably $1,000 was to us. The meaning of that really grabbed a hold of me and what it means to give. Because she knew that if she didn't give, how was she going to receive? She had already been given. God had given her the gift. That was just, has always hung on to me. And been an incredible blessing. Anne Frank said, no one ever became poor by giving. No one ever became poor by giving. Again, church, we cannot outgive God. It's not possible. I didn't realize these cards were going to stick together. Well, I know there's two there, but life is a boomerang. What you give is what you get. Life is a boomerang. What you give is what you get. And you could back that up in Scripture many, many places. Giving also opens the door to receiving. Because when you give out of your heart, and you give because you want to give, not because you have to, because you want to. It opens the door for the Holy Spirit to just come rushing in and you receive. I cannot tell you the numbers of times over the years that we've been incredibly blessed. In our denomination, and I'm not sure how it's done here, in our denomination, our pastors do not receive a salary. It's always done with pastor received. It started out at 72% of the tithes that were paid to the church. And then only up to a certain salary. The time we started, the maximum any pastor could make was $2,000 a month. And that's several years ago. And those above us in the Lord was the same. They could never earn any more money than we did. Not all churches do it that way, and that's fine. I don't find a fault with that. Only by giving are we able to receive more than you already have. Only by giving can you actually receive more than what you have. Are we okay? We doing all right? I really, really want you to be blessed. I really do. That's my heart, that you would be blessed. And that you would be blessed by the power of God moving through the gift that He gave you. And the gift of understanding that He can do for you exactly what you need. If you need deliverance this morning, God has the gift of deliverance. He can deliver you, can set you free from whatever. This morning, if you need the gift of healing, God can heal. God can touch you this morning. God can touch you. Buddy, I got a song for us this morning. If you turn the lights down just a little, and then I'll minister with us as a... Most of you will know this song. This is a Gaither song. Old song called He Touched Me.
Gloria and I wrote this back in 1963.
Remember when He touched you.
Back when your mom and daddy were just courting, right?
Just courting. Yeah, right.
Shackled by a hand.
Oh, yes, Lord. Yes, He did.
And now I am no longer the same.
Oh, He touched me.
Oh, He touched me. And oh, the joy that floods my soul.
Not over yet. Hallelujah, Lord. Through this second part, if you feel like just praising, to stand up and praise Him. Give Him thanks for the day that He saved your soul. He gave you a gift and He won't take it away from you.
He touched me, He said, oh, He touched me. Let me hear you sing it, and oh, the joy.
And but my soul,
something happened,
and now I know
He touched me. Now let me hear you sing it like Texans sing it.
Oh,
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If there's one here this morning that never gave their life to Lord Jesus Christ, you've never been touched by Him, I encourage you to give your life to Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. If for somebody here that never has, would you put your hand up? I'd like to pray for you this morning. You know, I got to tell you, sometimes we put so many limits on what God's can do, what God can do. We were struggling so hard to find a pastor, to pastor our church in Casper. Nice, nice building, nice parsonage. And it just wasn't happening. All of a sudden, a young man came forward in a wheelchair. And he said, I'd like to pastor the church. He's been there about 2 months. They're baptizing 6 young men this morning. God is working, church. God can work through any of us. He wants to. He has a gift. But He's only asking, what are you going to do with it? Blessed Heavenly Father, we thank You for this time together this morning. We thank You for Your loving kindness and Your goodness. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Kennedy, would you come, please? Hallelujah. Thank You, Lord. I know God's got a word through you, so share it.
God, I just have a prayer on my heart, actually. Just thank You, God. Just thank You for this message. Let it just go deep in our souls. Let it bear fruit. God, I pray that You would pluck up any bad seed in us, God. Or any seed of doubt, any seed of fear, any seed of not knowing who we are, God, and who You say that we are. I pray that as we go out this week, that You would continue to speak to us on giving, and that giving it goes in so many different ways. I pray that we would have hearts of generosity. I pray that, God, You would speak to us the gifts that You've placed in us. God, that it would be like Christmas morning, going under the tree and looking at these gifts that You have placed specifically in us. Each unique. I pray that we would hear Your voice more clearly. God, help us. Help us to walk in everything that You've called us to. And thank You for giving us Your Spirit, that You've already given us the tools. You've already given us everything that we need to fulfill the call on our lives. I pray that we would know that, that we would run the race with endurance, with the author and the perfecter of our faith. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. How many of us know from glory to glory, He's changing us? From glory to glory, He's changing me. His likeness and image to perfect in me. From glory to glory, He's changing us, church. His likeness and image to perfect in me. He wants us to become more like Him. That we would use the gift that God gave us to its fullest extent. God bless you. God loves you. We love you.